second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's having a great day to this point. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick alongside Elijah Campbell manning things at our game studios. Chase McCabe will be back with us tomorrow on the program. Leading up to our show every day Monday through Friday, Robbie and Rex Road. He's half of that show. He's Robbie Stanley, and he now joins us. Robbie, how you doing?
Fellas, doing wonderful. How are y'all?
Hanging in there, man. No rain today, at least not right now, which is nice. Just saying.
I hear y'all brought me on to have a play-by-play breakdown of the Packers-Lions game from last night. I'm fully prepared.
Well, it was your favorite team, so maybe you don't really apply to this conversation because you would probably watch them if it was just muted. But which broadcast did you watch?
I went Peyton and Eli in week one for Monday Night Football, and I'm never going back. I will watch Peyton and Eli every time they're on.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was – so you watched it last night. It was fantastic. By the way, did you hear where Lane Kiffin has asked for the Ole Miss-UT game to be done by Peyton and Eli?
I did, and that way that Eli can personally just break down the 12 touchdowns that Ole Miss will score that day, too. That'll be a lot of fun.
All compelling stuff, but that's not why we brought you on. We're going to talk a little hockey with you because – camp is underway. They've got their first set of preseason games, a little double dip against the Panthers on Sunday in Sunrise. So let me just start here and just get your thoughts because, I mean, why not talk about Matt Duchene out of the gates? I was on with Ryan Porth last night on Preds Insiders in the 6 o'clock hour, and he had John Hines on. And I told Ryan afterwards, I said, you know, I thought Ryan asked a really good question to John Hines about Matt Duchene. I said, I feel bad for him. I said, because ever since he's taken over this job, like, everybody has asked him, you know, every Matt Duchene question there is to ask. And I don't know how else he's supposed to answer the Matt Duchene questions, right? So I do feel bad for him because it's like we've covered all that ground, and until the narrative changes, what do you want the head coach to say? So with that being said, we kind of got into – okay, well, you know, John Hines said, put him in the best position to succeed. So I said, here's my early season prediction, and tell me if you agree or disagree and why. I said, this is just my gut. My gut says Matt Duchene is going to start off centering the second line. Matt Duchene will start off centering the second line. True or false, Robbie Stanley?
Oh, that's tough. I could definitely see it going that way. I'm going to say false.
Okay.
And I'm going to say false for this reason. When I hear best position to succeed, I think that's absolutely right. And I think you could go a different ways, a couple different ways with that. It depends on who you ask. To me, the best position for Matt Duchene to succeed is playing with Philip Forsberg and Ryan Johansson. And in order to do that, you're going to have Matt Duchene on the wing on the first line. So I think that they start with that. Now, if that's not immediately productive, I think they're going to switch that up because in order for Eli Tolvanen to have the year that I think they want him to have, he's going to have to play up near the top of that lineup. So there's a bunch of different options you can go there. But I said this a couple weeks ago, and I fully believe it to be the case. You know, I never really bought into the Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene possibility of being selected by Seattle. I thought that was never a likely scenario, and as we found out, it wasn't, and it didn't happen. You're stuck with those two now. Like, they are on your team, and they are going to be on your team, and the contracts that both of them are under dictate they're going to be on your team for a long time. So to me, the number one job that John Hines has for this year is finding a way to maximize whatever the two of them have left. You've got to find a way to maximize it. Because if you don't and you can't do it, those two contracts are just such an anchor on you as you move forward here that the rest of the moves, it's difficult to matter all that much if you've got $16 million tied up in two guys that don't bring you much offensively. So I would really like to see, and I'm interested to see if the Predators go this route, to have him start off with Johansson and Forsberg and see if there is something that they can find with those three playing together.
Yeah, it is. It is interesting. I didn't say, by the way, that it's going to stay the whole season. I just said start off.
Sure.
Obviously, sure. Everything is subject to change. So what I had is I had Tolvanen on the first line with Johansson and Forsberg, and I had Duchesne centering the second line with Granlund on one side and Cunnan on the other.
Okay.
But everybody knows how I feel about Tomasino if you've listened to the show. I'm pro Philip Tomasino, and I'm pro Tomasino right now. And let's just see. Is he ready? Is he not ready? Is he close? Is he not close? I just want to see it. So I want him to be in the roster or on the roster and there on opening night. And let's just say, for the sake of this discussion, that is the case. So Tomasino has made the roster.
Okay.
They are going to suit up and play the Seattle Kraken. And I would have him starting out, easing into things. I would have him on the third line with Cody Glass centering the third line. Ryan said he would put him on the second line with Duchesne and Granlund and push Cunnan down to the third. Ultimately, if Tomasino's in the lineup, where would you have him?
I'd have him in the top six. And the reason for that is, look, I think Luke Cunnan is a good player, and I think he showed last year that that's a piece you can be excited about if you're a Predators fan moving forward here. I think in the big picture long term, Luke Cunnan is not a top six guy. I think he's a very good player. I think he is probably better served on the third line. And what would scare me about putting Glass and Tomasino together is, just how young that line
is. That too young? Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
I think it's too young. And, okay. You know, look, I think to a certain degree this year the Predators are
going to
have
to live with
mistakes.
By the way, Cunnan's young.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of young floating around there this year. So I think to a certain degree they're going to have to live with some mistakes this year and be fine with that. But I don't know that I would start off with Glass and Tomasino together and just throw them in there that way. So I would probably put him in the top six.
I'm okay with Tomasino. By the way, I agree with you on your assessment of Cunnan. I think really when it gets down to it, overall, I think he's probably – he's. It just feels kind of like a Nick Bonino type of – it just feels like it's the right fit is going to be third line.
Yeah.
So I could certainly – I'm totally okay with Tomasino on the second line with Duchesne and Granlund and Cunnan on the third line. With Glass, who would you have as the other? I said Cousins. Who would you have? Cunnan, Glass,
yeah,
and who?
I would probably go Cousins there too. You know, it's interesting because they've got some options there because obviously now with the expansion draft going the way that it did, you've got Tanner Jeannot, Matthew Olivier, and Colton Sissons and Yakov Trenin all there and all available for you. So, you know, to me, do you really want to play all four of those guys at the same time? I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see how John Hines handles that. One thing that was intriguing about Tanner Jeannot, and I think part of why he was protected, offensively, I saw something there from Tanner Jeannot. And we talked about it a little bit last year. You know, he was over a point-per-game guy at the AHL level last year. But there was some skill. There was some willingness to go to the front of the net. So I would either go Cousins there. I might even give Tanner Jeannot a look on that third line just to see if he could bring a little bit more of that offensive punch, because I think one of the delicate balances that John Hines is going to have to strike this year, we all know the herd line. It was awesome last year. I love it. I don't think there's anything wrong with the herd line. I start to have an issue when you start to play all four of those guys at the same time, because I think it starts to become a little bit redundant at that point.
Put me in that boat as well. So, fun question before they've suited up and played a game. What do you think they are going into the season that's a position of strength, and what do you think right now going into the season is their biggest weakness? What would you say is their biggest strength and their biggest weakness going into the season? How would you answer that?
Well, I think their biggest strength is in goal and on D, and I kind of put those together. Like, I still think even with Ryan Ellis gone, they've got a chance to be really good defensively. And Roman Josi's not going anywhere. He's still a really good player. Ekholm's awesome. I think you're hoping that Carrier can carry over what we saw from last year, continue to kind of improve and expand that way. But I still like a lot of what they have defensively, and I like the depth that they have defensively as well. It's not necessarily high-end depth, but I think they've got a lot of guys that they can rely on and that are NHL-quality defensemen. Obviously, I feel really good about UC Saros heading into this season. There's no reason for me to believe that he's just going to drop off. I think he's playing really well. I think he's establishing himself as one of the top goaltenders in the National Hockey League. So I feel really good about the Predators in those areas. It just kind of feels like this is the same conversation we have every year. I look at this team right now, and I just don't know where the offense is coming from. Without everybody having a career year at the same time, or these young guys coming in and really just lighting it up from the start, I think both of those scenarios are unlikely. I just don't know that this team is going to have enough firepower to truly be a threat. So that's the biggest area of weakness to me is until I see something different out of the two $8 million centermen and until we get out of this game of hoping for these forwards to come in and have their career years and for these young players to light it up immediately, I think it could be a rough go of things offensively for a while.
Okay, so that's where I was going next. Not who should, who will lead the team in goals, and what's that number? Who will, not who should,
yeah.
Who ultimately will lead the team in goals, and what's the number?
That's a tough question because I know who should,
I know
who I think will, and then you'll have the injury problem that has become a problem the last few years, and that is Philip Forsberg. Look, it's a contract year for Forsberg. I'm hopeful for the Predators' sake that they can get him locked down here in the next few weeks. And if they don't, that's going to be a storyline all season long. But a contract year, I kind of think he's going to have a big year. And I think we're going to see the best version of Philip Forsberg. So I will say that Philip Forsberg leads the Predators with goals, and I say he finishes with 27 goals for Forsberg.
27, okay.
Talking to Robbie Stanley. And Robbie, as you guys float out all these theoretical lineups, and I've done my own, I go back to something that David Poile has said a couple of times here recently, and it's like a theme of training camp that he's laying out for everybody to see. When you look at anything other than if you assume that there is a version of the herd on the fourth line, almost everything else is up for grabs, other than Philip Forsberg is going to be on the top line, and yep, probably Ryan Johansson. And then I can see all kinds of things from the third guy on that line throughout the second line and the third line. And if you're in that mix, you could literally see almost anybody jump up and grab the job, and including a lot of very young players, which is a stretch. And that's why I think when people are doing this themselves, that's why a lot of people from the outside are predicting the Predators seventh in this division, because there's some unproven things in there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, Willie, I hope that's the case. I mean, I hope that there is truly open competition, so to speak, heading into this. I agree. Like, I don't really see a scenario where Philip Forsberg and Ryan Johansson are not on the top line. So I think those two guys are spoken for at this point. But I do think everything else is a mystery, like including Granlund, right? I mean, he's going to be in the top six.
Yeah.
But where is he going to play?
Exactly.
Is he going to be on the left wing? Is he going to be at center? I mean, I think there's a lot of intriguing ways they can go with this. I know, you know, fans are going to be clamoring to see Tomasino in the top six from the start, and they're going to be clamoring to see Cody Glass in the top six and Eli Tolvin in the top six. Well, there's only so many spots in the top six, and not everybody's going to be able to be there. So I'm really interested to see how this plays out from opening night on. And I think it's going to be a fluid situation, as we know. But I truly hope the Predators approach it that way and that they have an open mind to maybe trying some new things, maybe trying to see what some of these younger players have and then formulating that plan as the season goes on. Because I agree, Willie. I mean, there are really only two spots in the top six that I think are for sure locked down in terms of where those guys are going to play. And I think everything else from, you know, that right wing spot on the first line down to the third line is completely wide open.
And for that reason, I do wonder still if at some point, it may not be until the season gets going, they have created the space with all the moves they've made to make a move for a veteran if they want to. Now, it depends on what they would have to give up, but we know there's a lot of teams right up against it with the salary cap and have a lot of financial issues because of COVID, the cap being flat, all of the above. And there's a space because they did get rid of, I shouldn't say get rid of, they traded a lot of guys to get younger. So if the guys are ready to jump in there and do it, great. But that's a little bit of a leap of faith. I don't know that, like, I think the Tomasino, Glass, Tolvin, and guys like that could all make a jump. But are they all going to make a jump? It's not likely, right? There's probably a couple of them will, a couple of them won't. Fair to say?
Yeah.
So somewhere in there, really there could be a move for a veteran where that's exactly what this team ends up needing, to look more like a team that can score enough, can have the experience level that you need over the long haul to get back into the playoffs.
Well, and to that point, I almost wonder if David Poile is taking more of a wait-and-see approach with that in mind. Let's see what these young players have. Let's see what they bring to the table. And if they're ready, then that's great. You can add some supplemental pieces around them if you're competitive and you're hanging in there at the deadline. You can add at that point. If they're not ready and you still think that your veterans bring enough to the table to compete for a playoff spot, maybe we see a bigger move a little bit quicker into the season. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how David Poile goes about handling that. But I agree with you. You know, it's interesting to kind of look at where this team is right now. I like a lot of the young pieces that they have. I really do. I mean, I think Philip Tomasino is going to be a really good player. I think Cody Glass has got a lot of talent. I'm excited to see what sort of steps Ellie Tolvanen can continue to take as he gets more and more, into being a full-time NHL player and plays, five-on-five. Can he take that next step 5-on-5? Mm-hmm. But I think to sit here, if you're the Predators, and hope and expect that Tomasino is going to come in and immediately light it up, and Cody Glass is going to live up to being the 6th overall pick, and Ellie Tolvanen is going to take the next step. I think if you're expecting all of those things to happen at the same time, you're probably lending and setting yourself up for disappointment, and I'm interested to see what the fallback plan is going to be for David Poile with the cap space that you mentioned. That is the luxury that not very many teams right now in the NHL have.
They don't all have them, and I think a lot of people probably are asking, well, who's out there? You look at the free agents that are out there, there's really not much. But here's what is going to shake out at some point in the next few weeks. The Jack Eichel thing, which is probably the more time that goes by, that may not shake out for a while because of the neck issue, the uniqueness of his injury. But that, if and when he does get traded, that's going to create a domino effect. Somebody's going to take on a huge salary and have to shake up their salary cap a lot. But here's the real thing. Vancouver's got a couple of big-time restricted free agents that they have to sign. Elias Pettersson is one of them. Quinn Hughes is the other. Kachuk in Ottawa has got to be signed. That's going to be a big number. That's going to be like $8 million. What does that do to their salary cap and who that has to shake up on their roster? There's a couple other examples out there of guys that are unsigned that are going to shake up a team's salary cap structure. Is there somebody that becomes a guy that a team is willing to move from that ends up in that category? Hey, we kind of like this guy, but we don't really have room for him, so we'll trade him and you don't have to give us much, maybe just a future draft pick. I just wonder if there's a guy out there that ends up in that category one way or the other once the season gets going and some of these dominoes shake out.
Well, I wonder that too. And also, when that happens, given what the deadline is now, what the salary cap situation is and how it looks to continue to be that way for the next few years in the NHL, I mean, we saw a lot of moves made this offseason where I was like, huh, that trade was made and that's all they got back in return? How about that? I mean, that's
right.
And I think the Predators were involved in that too. I mean, a lot of people, and we heard this from listeners on our text line, a lot of people underwhelmed with the return for Ryan Ellis that the Predators got. Well, part of that's just the market and the way that things are right now in the NHL. So there is a lot of value to be had in just having cap space available to you. And not only for trade deadline this year, but look, let's operate under the assumption and just say, for the sake of argument, David Poile doesn't make any big moves this year outside of re-signing Matthias Ekholm and Philip Forsberg and setting themselves up to see what the young players look like this year. Well, if you feel good about your young players at the end of this year, all of a sudden you got all this cap space to spend next summer in free agency as well. So the makeup of the team, I think both in the short term and in long term, is in transition right now. But it's also, with the salary cap that they have, Willie, it's something that can change pretty quickly. Like if you feel pretty good about your young players, all of a sudden you can become a player again in free agency, and maybe the retool, the restructure, the rebuild, whatever phrase you want to call it out there, it can change in a hurry in this league.
That's why it's so essential that all of these young players that we've been talking about, as I said before, they're not all going to jump unless you have the perfect storm, which would be great. But if you could just have the majority of them take that step forward, a Cunning, Trennan, Jeannot, Tomasino, Glass, Tolvanen, Myers on defense, and then Carrier Fabro. How many of those guys jump into new roles and excel, and how many stagnate? That's really going to be your answer on where the franchise is going. Because, if some of them hit, then, like you said, then you have that inexpensive youth that you're looking to build around, and then you have the room to go add the right veteran at the right place.
Yeah, absolutely. And how long have we talked about, at some point during this window for the Predators, you're going to have young players come in and contribute? Well, they're going to get a first-hand look at that.
Oh, yes.
We're going to see what that looks like this year. And, I think that's important. I think if the Predators were to continue along this path of, hey, let's just bring in veterans and let's try to keep this window open with this core, I think that would have been a mistake. I like the way that they've handled this offseason. And look, I'm not going to lie to you. It may not be pretty this year. I don't know what's going to happen with this group this year. Willie, you brought it up. There are a lot of people that are picking the Predators to finish in seventh place in the Central Division this year, and that very well may happen. I have no clue how this is going to shake out with this young group, but I do like that the Predators have had enough self-awareness to kind of realize where they are, reassess, start to get some of the young guys in here. And if you can do that in the right amount of time, you can still be competitive while rebuilding your team on the fly. And I think that's the goal this year. That's going to be the challenge that John Hines and David Poile has. But again, in order to do that, we can talk about these young players all day long, and it's important. But again, I said it, some of these veteran guys that you're stuck with, you've got to find a way to maximize whatever it is that they have left. And maybe what they have left just isn't that much anymore. I don't know. But John Hines has got to find a way to maximize that really closely and out of the gate this year.
That's the X factor. Robbie, good stuff. That's all I got. Darren, you got anything more you want to throw at Robbie before we let him go?
Nope, we're good.
All right, good stuff. Robbie,
thanks, fella.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll crank it up here very soon with the training camp. Darren, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be, maybe we'll talk about it a little more on the other side. I think there are going to be a lot of people that predict Nashville 7th, and I don't know that that's a bad thing. I kind of like that thing that you can rally around as a team. Oh, you got a 7th. All right. You know what I mean? Like, there's us against the world, a little chip on your shoulder, disrespect, all of that stuff. I think it's going to be thrown right at them. I think you're going to get a pretty wide consensus that that's how it's going to go. And I think the Predators will sit there and go, oh, we beat Chicago 7 out of 8, 7-0-1 against Chicago, and you got Chicago ahead of us. Okay. You know, there's going to be some of that, but I think that can be a good thing.
No doubt. We'll talk about that and more on the other side. That is certainly a different position that they've been in a while. But right now I want to talk about my friends at Cool Springs MD. You've heard me talk about them for years because they've been helping me for years become healthier and happier. They've improved my quality of life, and I appreciate that about them because they've got a very experienced staff that can help you in a lot of things. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board-certified physician over there, his wife Daphne, the registered nurse, and their team would love to tackle a lot of things with you. And they do that with their state-of-the-art facility there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. They take weight loss management very serious. And maybe you've tacked on some unwanted pounds that you would love to get rid of, love to shed. Well, no problem. They've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track ASAP and headed in the right direction. Rejuvenation, PRP, hair removal, Botox. I can sit down and talk to you about your appearance. Your appearance should be important. It gets tougher, though, as we age. And finally, hormone therapy. These are just some of the things they house under one roof. And maybe you've been feeling off lately and you're not sure what's going on. Well, they can check your levels, and maybe they've dipped. Maybe they've dipped to an all-time low, which does happen as we age. A lot of people don't realize that, and it could affect you in one or many of those areas. And their staff can discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all. If you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation, pick up the phone and dial this number. 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to the website, coolspringsmd.com. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Tuesday.
The 21st of September, as Earth, Wind, and Fire is telling us.
That's right.
Hey.
It is.
Hey, Elijah, thinking, doing it.
I do indeed own a calendar.
Nice.
Our show is brought to you by Creation CBD. Creation means healing, and that says it all. Creation is passionate about providing quality CBD products for everyday use, including gummies, topicals like moisturizers and roll-on muscle relief. I'll tell you what, pet products, which I've been using, there's no doubt. We know my female German Shepherd's got medical issues, she has seizures, and I'll tell you what, I've noticed the CBD oil really working for her. You can purchase Creation CBD at the Painted Tree in Franklin or online at creationcompany.com. That's creationcompany.com. Creation CBD products curated for life. So good little discussion there on the Predators. The season is just around the corner. Yeah, about 3 weeks away. Hard to believe we're that close to the National Hockey League getting things kicked off. Right now they're in camp. They've got preseason starting on Sunday, and we talked a lot about – so where are you – and by the way, yes, you're right. There's going to be virtually no expectations.
Yeah, just get ready for it. Just prepare yourself for it now, and don't freak out when you start seeing it, because it's going to happen. They're not going to be predicted to make the playoffs by many, many people, and they have been there before and surprised many a time over the years in that boat.
Well, it's just a different approach than the window they've been in for the last 5 years.
And it had to happen at some point. And as we said, there's some ways to do it. Are they going to completely tear it up? No, they haven't done that. They're systematically doing it over a period of time where the core gets younger and they had to shed some contracts. Is it the exact combination of contracts they would have preferred? Maybe, maybe not, probably not. But this is how they're going about doing it. And in the meantime, there's going to be some skepticism that they can remain what they have been at the very least, and that's a consistent playoff team.
Yeah, but I do think that is one of the really interesting parts about this upcoming season is just the unknown. It's a little bit different. There have been so many expectations, and there really aren't going to be those expectations this season, but really, what are they? Is it around what people are predicting? I think the over-under in points is like 84.5. Is it over? Is it under? Is
84.5?
Yep. Is it right at that number? Yeah, we played this game on Preds Insiders last night. I took the over.
I like over. 84.5 to me is low for what they have done over the years.
Well, but they've done over the years has nothing to do with this upcoming season.
Yeah, but you still have some really good pieces, and you have some young players that were really good last year. I understand it being lower. I would have said more like 88, 89. 84 surprises me, mm-hmm. especially given how well the goalie played last year. But once again, skepticism because of the youth, of the inexperience. They are leaning on a lot of, for the most part, inexperienced players. But I will tell you that they have a belief in their developmental system. They really do believe in the Tanner Jeannots, in the Luke Cunnins, in the Yakov Trenins, in the Tomasinos. I just don't know if it'll be immediately this year. That's right now what would have to happen. Carrier and Fabro would be two more great examples. They believe in those guys, but man, are they going to be in the fire?
There's no doubt their strength is going to be on the back end. At least that's what it looks like in net and what's in front of UC Saros. But it's also a big unknown because there's no more Ryan Ellis, so it's no more the big three. So you've got Roman Josi will be manning one D pairing, the first D pairing. You'll have Ekholm manning the second D pairing. Who's alongside? Right, so they get Philip Myers from Philadelphia. What is he? We haven't seen him. I mean,
gotta find out.
Right, we're about to find out. But I mean, what is he bringing to the table? Carrier, can he duplicate? Can he get even better, or is he the same? Is he better? Is he take a step back? What is he going into a full season now with him? I mean, it's still a question mark. We don't know what the follow up is going to look like. We all hope that it's the same or even better. Dante Fabro, he needs to take that next step. Is that next step coming now? And who plays along him, alongside him, if he's indeed that third D pairing? So I don't know. I don't know what the defense is going to look like. Is it going to be the same? Is it going to be better? Does it take a step back from what we've been accustomed to over the years?
And that's where I do think these preseason games are going to be probably more important than they've been in a long time to really look for clues on that. Who earns the job? I think there really will be a merit-based system on – you just used a great example. Who plays with Josi? Who plays with Ekholm? I think those jobs are up for grabs. I think we can probably say the favorite is for Carrier to play with Josi, and then it's a battle between Fabro and Myers to play with Ekholm. But I think – there's competition. And then, you know, the third pair, there's a lot of competition there. You know, can Borowiecki get back in this mix somewhere? What about Ben Harper? What about Matt Benning? You got a lot of guys. You only dress six, you know, maybe seven. There's going to be great competition. And I think the same can be said for forwards. Rocco Grimaldi, where does he fit in there? Rem Pitlick, Matthew Olivier, whoever the fourth member of the herd is. Like you said, you know, I don't know that you play all four of those guys each night. Somebody's going to have to elevate their game to earn being in a different role. Otherwise, you're just going to play those, you know, the three best options there. So where does Nick Cousins fit? There's just a lot of things. But I think there's going to be a real compelling competition in this training camp at a lot of spots. I talked to J.P. Dumont during the prospect camp in the summer, and the first thing he said to me, he goes, man, if I were on the Predators and I were a young player, I would love it, because you come into a camp and you've got different pathways to make the team, whereas sometimes when you're that age, you're looking at the roster going, how in the heck am I going to make this team? All of the spots are spoken for.
Which is what it's been in the past.
That's what it's been in the past.
Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Bicycle Boy.
Good morning, fellas. And first of all, condolences to Chase and his family. I've lost my dad this year as well, so thoughts and prayers to his family.
I got
two questions. First, if we sign Forsberg, which I'm not convinced. I think he's kind of copped a wait-and-see attitude. But if we sign him and Ekholm, have we signed Ekholm or not?
No.
No. Okay. So let's before we go any further, let's play GM.
Big piece.
Let's let you play GM. What would you do?
Can make me
with,
do that again?
Yeah. Well, what would you do with Forsberg? I mean, what's your number? What ultimately? How would you like to see it play out? Let's just start there.
Okay. I think realistically, he's probably going to expect around seven, maybe 7.5. Ekholm, maybe six. And then my question is, how does that affect the salary cap? And then my second question would be, of the young guys that you've talked about, especially Tolvanen and that group, which one of those guys do you think realistically has the best chance of stepping it up a notch?
Okay. All right. We'll talk about it. Good stuff, as always. Thank you for the phone call. So, okay. He threw out $7.5 million per for Forsberg. We'll start there. One, do you agree with that number? Do you think that is ultimately what his number is going to come in at?
I think that's in the ballpark. Yes.
Okay. But could, okay, then give me your ceiling. Give me, what's the ceiling number?
Oh, I would have to say, well, I don't know what they're doing behind the scenes on this. I was listening to a good interview with Ray Ferraro, who we love, we've had on the show, good friend of Brent Peterson's, former teammate. And he made this point. He goes, when you hear that contract negotiations aren't close, what does that really mean? Because that's kind of what you've heard, that they haven't done a whole lot of work on the Forsberg thing yet. But he says all it really takes is one side or the other picking up the phone, and in 10 minutes you could be close. And then he said, and then when you say you're close, close could mean a lot of things too. You and I, Darren, could be really close on a trade in our fantasy league, but you know we're close, but we need to tweak it, and that could take a long time just to get the last tweak to get it done. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's a really tricky thing. But if it goes into the season, then the way you could play it for David Poile is if the direction of the franchise goes in more of a, hey, we're going to have to continue to get younger, we're going to have to continue to get more pieces, you could consider trading Philip Forsberg. I don't think they want to do that. I think you want to have Forsberg and Ekholm as part of the core that you continue to build around, the veteran core. So is 8 the ceiling? Yeah, I think 8's the ceiling, but I think they would like to get under that a little bit.
I will tell you, it's got, in my opinion, a 5% chance or less, and I would be way more on the less side of things of this actually happening before the season begins. I think there's virtually, I don't want to say zero, because zero is a little too strong. 0%,
yeah.
It says that I know something for sure. And I don't know something for sure, but I give it 5% or less that this deal actually happens before the season
begins.
I'm
with you. I'd put it in that range. And because remember, that it took Roman Josi went into the season when he was in this stage going into the last year of his contract.
And I think Roman Josi was a much more of a no-brainer than Philip Forsberg.
I think you're right. But I think Philip Forsberg is one they would absolutely want to continue to have here and build.
No, I understand that, but I mean,
but at the right price.
At the right price, and you know, I mean, he's got a difference. I mean, if it wasn't for missed time, which is Roman Josi doesn't have that, right? He just doesn't have.
Much.
He doesn't carry that baggage. He just doesn't. Not to the level that Forsberg has, right? And so that is in play, and that is a harsh reality to this negotiations, right? It's hampered him on what could have been, you know, big seasons, right? It's affected him by games missed. And so it's just a reality of the type of mm-hmm. conversations that they're having behind the scenes. So it's, I think Roman Josi was more of the no-brainer. It doesn't mean that they don't want this to happen for Philip Forsberg. Of course they do. I'm just saying it was more of a no-brainer for Josi. Like, we weren't really sitting here going, tell you what, if they don't get this done before the season begins, I'll tell you what, 59's probably walking out that door. Like, we were never having that discussion. And I'm not saying that's the case with Forsberg either. I just don't believe for a minute they're getting this done before the season begins. I don't think they're close, and I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
And I think if you look at the roster, that you've got to have some veterans. Unless you want to go into full rebuilding mode. But I don't think they brought Mikael Granlund back. I don't think they want to bring Matthias Ekholm back to go full rebuild. I think they want to have that core of veterans that they can lean on while the rest of the roster takes shape, while they see what they've got with the development of Janot and Trennan and Olivier and some of those guys that are more of the pieces, and then all these other guys that are huge in terms of the swing players. And this was part of Bicycle Boy's question too. Who's going to take the jump?
Let's answer that. So let's do that on the other side.
Okay.
Good
segue.
On the other side to close shop on hour number two. We do that next. Hey, you can join us in partnering with Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, want to raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual this year and will take place on November 4th. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. We're thinking of you, Chase. Hopefully you'll be back with us tomorrow. With that being said, okay, we wanted to answer, who do we think of the young guys is going to take a big step forward this year? Where do you want to start with that?
As you and Robbie kicked around some ideas for Lions, which I think was a great exercise because it showed how many different ways you could go. And the first question I really have is, where do you want to have Matt Duchene, Cody Glass, and Mikhail Granlund, really? Because those are all guys who could play center. But which ones do you want at center, or do you want to slide one or more of them to the wing? And so the one I just don't know enough about, Darren, is Cody Glass. Is Cody Glass a guy on the verge of a breakout, or is he a guy that was picked sixth in the draft but just isn't really that guy, mm-hmm. or is still a couple years away from being that guy? I could see it going any number of ways, and I just haven't watched him play enough to really know.
Yeah, it's the real unknown.
That is a total unknown for me. Yep. Now, if it hits and he can sit there in the second center position, which is where they hope he'll get someday, then, man, does that speed up this whole process, and it slots guys in great spots. So the guy that I'm going to look at is Tolvanen. Tolvanen is the guy that I'd really like to see be in there every night. Now, of course, he's all of 22. And they have signed him. Now, think about this, Darren. Jesperi Kotkaniemi, offer sheet, pilfered by the Hurricanes. $6.1 million per year. He's 21. He's a year younger than Tolvanen. He's playing at 6.1. Tolvanen, over the next 3 years, $1.45 million per year. So in the next 3 years, he's not going to make even close to what Kotkaniemi is going to make this year.
Yeah.
And you look at what Kirill Kaprizov is about to sign for, like $9 million a year. He's unsigned. But that's going to create some serious issues in Minnesota for their salary cap, which they already have a bunch of issues. Brady Tkachuk, who I mentioned in Ottawa, he's not going to be cheap. That's going to be about $8 million a year. Now, I'm not saying Tolvanen is in that class of player. Elias Pettersson would be another one who's going to get a huge check. But Tolvanen, we think, can be pretty good. And if he's anywhere close, and if he can just give you – what if he just gave you 20 goals this year? Is that reasonable? He had 11 last year.
More
20
than
goals is reasonable, right?
More than reasonable.
If he got 20 goals for $1.45 million, that's a steal.
I expect him to have 20 goals.
I really think that's a reasonable expectation, and that could be a conservative one. If he's in there every night, right? That's the key for him, is can he help them 5-on-5 and do the job, help you win? If he's in there every night, then I think his shot is going to dictate he will end up with some goals. He should. And that's a huge bargain for 3 years at $1.45 million. Think about what kind of bargain that could be. Cody Glass is going to make $830,000 this year. If he ends up being anything close to a second center, it just sets up all of a sudden options where you can go fill holes and you have the cap flexibility to do it, which you really haven't had in a while. That's the importance of getting production from younger players.
So I would like to see Trenu keep skewing in the right direction.
That's another one. I really like him.
I really like his play. I think he could be kind of a guy that still is flying under the radar of maybe production. There's a lot more production to get out of him. I do. I really like him. And I understand he's probably going to be on the fourth line, but I really like what he brings to the table. I think Tolvanen's probably the right answer to the question. I really do. But I'm going to say, just for sake of being different, I'm going to go with Trenin. Now, I want you to quickly, before we get out of here, answer the Duchene. I just said I feel like they're going to start the season because they know what they get at Granlund. We know Granlund can center that second line. Like, they already know what they have in him. But I think they're going to start Duchesne centering the second line. Robbie disagreed. He thinks he's going to be up on the first line with Johansson and Forsberg. What say you? What do you think?
I think a lot of it depends on what they see from Glass. But I will believe that when I see it.
You'll believe Duchesne centers the second line when you see it?
Yes. I think it's much more likely that he's in a winger role. But
second line or first line?
It's going to be either or, but I think I tend to go with Robbie. That's, you know, they might take a long look at 9, 92, and 95 on the same line. But that is an option. I mean, they have options. I think if you take a look through the years, the last couple of years, Granlund and Duchesne have had some good moments together. They've played well together. So if you say our first two lines are going to be a combination of Forsberg and Johansson as a pair on one line, then we'll find the third guy. Maybe it's Tolvanen, maybe it's Cunnan, I don't know. And then Granlund and Duchesne are part of the second line, and then maybe it's Tomasino, maybe it's Tolvanen, maybe it's Cunnan. You know what I mean? You find the third guy. You find a duo that you sort of lock down. And then your next question would be, well, who's the center, who's the wing?
Well,
if Granlund and Duchesne are together.
Well,
that's a good question.
Let me just tell you real quick, because I know we got to get out of here. Let me just tell you why I'm saying this. I think it's been very clear. Matt Duchesne, I know he doesn't have a leg to stand on because the production hasn't been there, but it's very clear he came here to be a centerman. He believes he's a centerman. Here's the other part. They paid him to be a centerman, and centermen get paid more than wingers. And guess what? If he is just going to be a guy on the wing for you, then you've way overpaid. I mean, you have way overpaid because you paid for him to be a centerman.
And do all the things centermen do.
And
right?
do Win. All the things yeah. that centermen do. And so I think.
But he hasn't been that guy.
I understand. But I think you got to go back and you got to give it another shot in year three. You got to go back there again start there.
I like
and
that
then
idea.
Go from there.
That would help a lot if he. But I think we're tempering our expectations. At least this is my view of it. I'm tempering my expectations. I'll be pleasantly surprised if he suddenly blossoms into what they hope he would be. And I'm hoping he has been driven with a chip on his shoulder this entire time saying, you know what, I'm going to show everybody. I've been dangled out there. They wanted to give me away. I'm going to show you that I can play. I'm hoping that is what he brings to the table and he shows everybody that he deserves to be a center. But he's going to have to earn it.
Yep. We'll come back, switch gears, talk some Titans with Jim Wyatt. That's next.